for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday evening, July the 9th, 1993. Summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Rod Johnson is the speaker of the evening.
Father, we thank you for your richness and your goodness. Our Father, hallelujah. You're our Abba Father. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord. Thank you for being our Father, O Lord. A Father that loves us and cares for us, O God. A Father that has all that is good in store for us, O God. A Father that lives in a higher plane, O God. A high place, O God. And it's not unattainable, but it is attainable because of the blood and because of Jesus. Hallelujah. Shower us, O Lord, with your tender mercy and goodness. Lord, it is the cry of our heart to draw into a covered place under your wings that is much higher. Oh, so high. God, as we understand Mount Zion, we desire to climb to the top. We desire to dwell in Mount Gerizim where the blessings which are ours would flow freely. For we know protection is there. Lift us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I would ask that you would ask the Spirit of the Lord to give you a spirit of expectation of being lifted into His presence in a higher realm tonight. And I just don't know where this word is going to take us. Just as I was sitting there, it just kind of stirred within a portion of it. So we want to look at Jacob for a moment. And Genesis chapter something. I have trouble with addresses. Hallelujah. I know enough to knock on the door. But by the way, some of you had asked if I would just give you a little background about us and so forth. I really feel checked tonight. There's a holy presence. I don't want to waste time telling about itself. And tomorrow night, I know that, I think tomorrow night, or whenever, tomorrow, I have a word on deliverance that I know is going to set many free. And maybe we can share it then, because it's a personal word. Genesis 28:1. Isaac called Jacob and blessed him, and charged him and said unto him, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise and go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother. Now, I'm not going to teach a lot on Jacob or preach or whatever happens, but I would like to lay a foundation from Jacob. The first thing I'd want you to know is Abraham is a type of the father. Isaac is a type of the son. And Jacob is a type of the Holy Spirit for the purpose of tonight. And I believe that the power of the Christ that lives within you and I is speaking to us in this hour, and He is saying it's time to come to Padan Aram to find a wife. It's time for marriage. Hallelujah. And that name Padan Aram means an elevated place in height that is level, a plateau. All right? Remember when Jesus in John chapter 14 was saying, I go and prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. And many times we've thought of that, excuse me, mistakenly, I believe, as the realm of heaven. And I don't believe that. I believe that there is a place, there is an abiding place in the Spirit. And you and I are walking into that, line upon line, precept upon precept, faith upon faith experience. Hallelujah. And there are many levels. And the Father has prepared a place at each level for you and I. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lord. Hallelujah. Now I find also when it's time to go into a higher place, it's just as Israel going into the wilderness and as Israel going into the promised land. It's a way we've not been before. A All right. The voice of the Lord is calling us. And he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit hath to say. Hallelujah. Now, he wants to take us as his wife, and put that in your pocket and remember it for just a little while. Now, go over to verse 10. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And the only thing I want to make a comment on verse 10 is this, that Jacob was obedient to the drawing of the Christ, Isaac, you hear what I'm saying, from the voice of the Father. You are being visited with, and I had a word for my son, this very same word, but it's for you and I. And as Joshua made the proclamation just before he died, choose this day whom you'll serve. People in America especially, because I've been sent to America, so I don't have the burden for other countries nor the knowledge that I do. But in America, the Lord is requiring of us to make a choice in this hour. And the way you will know that you're being required to make a choice, there's a good way of measuring it. If you are starting to hate the evil with such a disgust that you just are driven to your knees, which will lead to a weeping, you'll know that you are being placed in a position where you're hearing the voice of God and you're making a separation unto him. Now, the second place that you have the choice of going to is the place of materialism, is the place that is very easy to go to where peer pressure is. All right? And we won't get into all of the details on that. But you and I, in America especially, are being required to choose this day whom we will serve. And Jacob was obedient as the father said, go, it's time to become married. In John chapter 17, my favorite, most favorite part of the book of John, we are called to be one. And we have not attained the one as the Father was in Jesus and as Jesus is in us. But we are so close. And the thing that excites me is this. It says, in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And where does he dwell? Within me. People, you and I have living within us the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Oh, glory to the Lord. Just carry that with you as a strengthening principle, if I could put it that way, because I have the ability, or let me rephrase it, I have the confidence to know that I have the Father's will living within me.
Yes.
Glory to God!
Yes.
Oh, the cry of our heart has been all along, God, I just want to do your will. I want to do your will. And how many times don't we walk in fear of falling out of the will of God? And I believe that's a trick of the enemy. Because when I have Christ in me, I will walk in the will of God. Hallelujah. He will bring me in it if I have an obedient ear to hear what the Spirit has to say. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And of course, we all know that we have Christ living within us. But I'm finding in the deliverance meetings that we teach, I've been teaching just until I almost don't want to teach it anymore, on the battle for our mind. All right? And I've got umpteen different ways of approaching it, I guess. But the thing that I see is this, that I have the mind of Christ. I have the attitude of Christ. And I am being conditioned to think with the attitude of victory. I have victory. Sister, you blessed me when you said something about his best for us. All right? I believe that Satan wants us to believe to settle for second best is his will. And we need to change our thinking.
Yes, that's right.
We need to change our thinking to the blessings. Hallelujah!
Amen.
Start disciplining your mind, your thought life, towards the blessings of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to just interject something while it comes to mind. Those of you that took a stand on cigarettes today, I was delivered from 3 to 4 packs a day the night I received Christ as my Savior. And one of the things, by the grace of God, that I did, nobody told me to do it, was to take a little New Testament and put it where my cigarettes were. All right? So those of you that took that stand tonight. Now, every time you go to reach for a cigarette, it's a habit, you know. And habits, I believe, are nothing more than spirits. I don't know how biblical that is, but I believe it. All right? And as you reach for them, you will see the New Testament. And you hold that up and you rebuke and you command your body to line up to the Word of God. And I promise you, and I promise you that if you will be obedient, you'll never touch another cigarette again. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, let's get back on the subject that we're at hand with. Hallelujah. And it says that in verse 11, he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. I draw your attention to a couple things. We'll elaborate on them as we get into the Word. But I would like you to know that he rested in a certain place, and it was a place that was foreign to him. It is extremely difficult to rest in areas of unknown circumstances. Isn't that right? Extremely difficult. Extremely difficult. I feel to share a quick thought with you. About a month and a half ago, we were in a trial. Anybody relate to trials? I'm not going to go into the details of it, but we were in a trial. And this trial was consuming me. It took all of my thought life. My prayer life was consumed in this warfare. And my nature was not the fruit of the Spirit. It was the fruit of the grumps. All right? I was hard to live with. And I think that's reality sometimes, don't we get there? I had reached the end of the line, and I had reached the midnight hour for this trial to be ended. Because the following morning, I had to do some things that I was going to do no matter what. I knew they were of the Lord, but unless the trial ended, I couldn't do it. And during the night, as I was crying out to the Lord, I got disgusted with myself. And I said, I don't really care whether God answers this prayer or not. I love Him anyway. I tell you a heavy thing. God is teaching us not to love Him by circumstances around us. Hallelujah. And we're not going to be lifted into the rest on a higher level until we learn to love God at the level that we're in spite of whatever circumstances might be coming at us. Hallelujah. Learn, as Paul said, to be content in whatsoever state you are in. And I have found that the states that I'm in many times are totally contrary to what would be victory in the eyes of positive confession, in the eyes of the promises of the Word, and definitely in the eyes of the world, and usually in the eyes of my brothers and sisters in the Lord. But yet I cannot let any of those things become a factor in my life and in my relationship if I'm going to win the battle in this trial. Hallelujah. I must love Him unconditionally. Oh, glory, glory. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He loves me that way.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
People, He loves us with no conditions attached. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are being called to demonstrate that love. How can we demonstrate it if we don't know it? Hallelujah. I better keep going here. There's a lot in this story, and I want to get off of it in a minute. And it says that he put down his pillows in that place on stones. I would like to think of those stones as Christ the rock. Now, how many stones there were, I don't know. But I know that Christ is the foundation stone. And I know that the 12 stones that are in the walls of the New Jerusalem stand for the foundation of the will of God, the law of God going forth. And I would like us to know that you and I are being called to rest our head upon the authority of God the Father and His way and nothing else. And as I was in this particular situation, I had my face to the back of the Davenport, and you know how we get at those times, and the Father's hand
the Father that lives in us, reaches by the power of the Holy Spirit, and He holds our head, and He becomes Almighty God at that time, people. You see, He knows that we have to go to a higher place in Him. And He knows that we battle spirits that are not godly. And He does not condemn us for that battle, because He birthed us to be warriors. He birthed us to conquer those spirits. And every time you defeat a spirit of fear, that's one less spirit we got to do warfare with. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And as He took that, He ministered, "I am the Lord God Almighty, the strong-breasted one. And I hold you to my breast. And I'll feed you with nourishment, because you're as a babe right now. You're weak. But remember that my strength is made perfect in that weakness." So don't condemn yourself because you're weak. Don't condemn yourself because you're frail and you're crying out and there's circumstances that are coming at you. But draw on the strength of the Father and learn to rest your head. Rest your head. I watched our sister from Madison with that little one that's sick and how she caressed him in her arms and cared for him. You see, that's how the Father is looking with you and I right now when we're in these battles. Hallelujah. Oh, let's go on. And he dreamed a dream there, and you all know that. And the Lord set up a ladder, and in this ladder, the top of it reached to heaven. I just like to say that we are living in one of the realms of heaven right now.
Yes.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. In earth as it is in heaven. And you and I are driving out the spiritual forces that are in heaven. Hallelujah. And pretty soon heaven is going to be clear from all evil spirits. And you and I are going to walk in the realm of perfection. And that's at the top of this ladder that Jacob saw. But in this ladder, the Lord allowed him to see the angels going up and down and up and down. We all know this, such a simple story, but so much truth in it. Hebrews chapter 12, I think 1 and 2, tells us that we are surrounded by ministering spirits. Isn't that right? People, as we are being lifted up into a realm closer to God, we are tempted to do one of two things. Either resist and run away, or try to be religious and do things, hoping it will get us into a higher place in God. Can't do it. There's only one way we're going to enter in to a higher level in God. And that is learning to let the spiritual forces assigned by God, along with the Holy Spirit that lives within us, minister to us. Now, those spirits are sent to assist us, and they are assigned to with the ability to do warfare at the higher level. Now, the spiritual level I was at and the spirits that were ministering at the time before I stepped up to that second level, they don't have the strength to do the warfare of the new level. Therefore, our faith is being tested. Do you hear what I'm saying? Faith is not faith if we know by experience that we have won the victory already. Faith is when we go forth with the hope that we will win and we have never experienced the warfare. Amen. Hallelujah. And the Lord is sending His ministering spirits. And the Holy Spirit is on the inside, ministering strength to us. And the confidence of Christ, the victorious one. Hallelujah. When I thought of the Christ as the victorious one, I changed my vocabulary to Jesus Christ for this reason. Jesus walked this in the flesh, and He came out as Christ, the anointed victorious one. Hallelujah. Therefore, I address Him in this time as Jesus the Christ. And I draw great strength from the fact that He has walked this for me. He relates to me. And all of the shame and condemnation leaves me in that sense of oneness together. The sense of being in the unity with the Lord as He's lifting me up into that higher place. And suddenly, I'm on a new plateau. Hallelujah. That is what the Lord is saying to the body of Christ. I believe, especially in America right now, come up. Come up to an elevated place. There's much more in that teaching. That's not our purpose tonight. But I do have to draw your attention to verse 22. And this stone which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. Well, I thought, what a place to end this particular teaching the Lord had. And we've got a book that's at the publisher right now on the tithe and a teaching on it and understanding giving and so forth. I had hoped it would be done by the time we got here, but it wasn't. But this tenth, I just want to touch on it lightly. The number ten is the number that we have to use to show that we believe God is God. All right? And when we give the tenth of anything, we are saying, God, I give you this number of whatever it is because I know that you are God and I'm demonstrating my belief. That's why we tithe. We tithe not in bondage to a law, although the tithe is way before the law, but we demonstrate our faith actively. Faith without works is dead in all of this. I see this in our experience of being reaching out into a higher level. As the voice of God starts to draw me out, I need to give him a tenth of my spiritual walk by stepping out in faith. Hear me. Shaking, yes, but determined to walk closer to the Lord. Salatabasianda. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. And our faith is not in what we're going to get. Our faith is in God, is our strength, and nothing else. Hallelujah! Oh, we need to put our faith in that direction. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 12. Hallelujah. Glenn has been mentioning, maybe we won't touch on 12 for a while, so just hang tight. Glenn has been mentioning last night something that stirred within me, and it fits in with this. He said words to this effect, do you know what your purpose is? Do you have a purpose? All right. Now, I believe the Lord's going to put this all together. Bear with me, I don't know quite how. But one of the higher levels that I was required to come on was that I really have been created for a purpose. You have been created for a purpose. And I know I've ministered this so many times, and I don't know if I ever did here or not, so I'm just going to touch on it. But in 2 Timothy, I think maybe 1:9, it says something. I know it says something. Does Timothy hide on you like it does me? I don't know why, but it does. And I'm just going to touch a moment on it. We're talking about the power of God and the beauty of Christ. He has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. First of all, a spirit of discouragement, a spirit of fear of failure, a spirit of pride is actually what it is, hinders us from going on in the purpose of God. I was so blessed this afternoon, I had never seen a teaching on speaking in tongues and so forth, an interpretation, like Irma did. I wish she could have gone on just in that phase of it for a long time. I was excited to see that. And I watched it with a careful eye at the start, and boy, and I saw the Lord doing. It was something, you know, and I'm going to use that, but the reason many of you didn't reach out and say, I want to, why was it? Fear. Afraid of what others would think. In our worship and praise, why don't we give God and let our soul go? Fear. Afraid of what others would think. Until we learn to rest in the family of God, until we learn that fear is an emotion that we should have nothing to do with other than the other kind of fear of God, which is not an emotion.
Right.
We are not going to accomplish the purpose of God that we have. You have been created for a purpose. That word purpose is the same word as showbread. Hallelujah. Now, the showbread in the holy place was 12 loaves of unleavened bread. The unleavened bread had holes poked in it. Unleavened bread stands for the life of Christ coming forth in us, a holy life, a holy walk. And it comes through pressure, through working out our salvation with fear and trembling, all right? And this purpose bread, show bread, or bread of face, are you with me now as we teach a little bit here, was reflected upon by the candlestick. Amongst other things, it was representing the very presence of God, the light, the Holy Spirit of God. And this showbread was stacked in 12 loaves, one upon another, and it said on the top of the showbread was incense burning unto the Lord. 12 is the government of God. Isn't that right? And the apostles are the 12 foundations of the New Jerusalem, all right? You and I are that Jerusalem. And what this is standing for and the showbread is standing for is the peace of God going forth with a sweet incense unto the Lord as a sweet prayer. Hallelujah. Wherever we go, and we are representing the glory of the Lord. Our purpose is to walk in the fruit of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Our showbread is the fruit of the Spirit going forth. For then the law of the Lord will go forth in perfection. Oh, glory to God. Well, I wanted you to see that purpose comes then. It comes, first of all, with salvation. You were saved and assigned a purpose in life. Secondly, it comes with a holy calling, which is a separated calling. Thirdly, the purpose of God is accomplished in your life, not according to your ways and works, but by grace according to His works. Hallelujah. His methods. And it was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And this just blesses me so much. Because Jesus walked out my purpose in life before the world began. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. That takes all responsibility off my shoulders. That lifts the weight of having to perform for God. Let me go a step further. That lifts the weight of having to perform for you. Another step further. It lifts the weight of having to perform for myself. Hallelujah. Glory. And it says, I've done it for you. Just be obedient and let me do it through you. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There'll never be a false prophet when we learn to walk in that. Hallelujah. There'll never be another cult if we learn to walk in that. Oh, glory. In that beautiful peace and in that experience that I had that night, the Lord brought me to that. And then the next morning, the trial was miraculously answered in the front of many doubters. And now they're out testifying about it. Maybe tomorrow night I'll share more on that. But I would like you to see this. Now, the purpose of God, we want to continue on that because it fits in with Revelation 12. I'd like you for a moment to think of my favorite Old Testament character, Joseph. And we'll remember the life of Joseph that he went through. And I draw your attention without going to it, the following. Joseph was placed in a land of plenty, but he went through horrendous, ungodlike trials. Amen?
Amen.
We don't have to go through all of that. Isn't that right? All right. And as Joseph was put in the land of plenty, he came to a point that because of his lifestyle, he was trusted to care for the plenty. All right, now turn with me to Genesis chapter 50, I think. And again, this will fit in with Revelation 12. And Joseph now
We know he was forsaken by his brothers. He was accused by his brothers. He was wrongly treated. And in fact, he was kicked out of the family according to his brothers. Put on your spiritual ears for a moment. One of the things that we do much ministering to right now, not by choice, is wounded sheep. And the sheep are not wounded by the world. The sheep are wounded by other sheep. And the sheep are wounded by men who are out for personal gain. Not always, but many times. Now, there is another type of wounding that comes, and I'll tell you what it is. There's a type of wounding that comes as God works out His purpose. And it seems as if we're wounded and things are happening within the family of God that aren't right. But yet we have searched our hearts and we know that we have done the right thing. And hindsight allows us to see, oh, but you were wounded, but you still accomplished my purpose. Hallelujah. And He heals us with that. And we go on. Hallelujah. But a wounded person has the nature of the lamb if they are in Christ. And the nature of the lamb is not the nature of the lion. The nature of the lamb is the nature of Jesus as He walks to the cross. Hallelujah. There is a righteous anger in the nature of the lamb. But there is a gentleness and an obedience. The nature of the lamb will not strike back, not even with thoughts. I've not attained that yet. Pray for me. Oftentimes I have to say, if you could read my thoughts, you'd be in trouble. Isn't that right, huh? So we have to rebuke those thoughts. So the Lord is dealing with that area. But the nature of the lamb, then, is obedient to do the will of the Father, as Jesus did the will of the Father. Are you with me still? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the Lord is setting us an example with Joseph. Now, Joseph had a ministry of interpreting dreams. Isn't that right? You and I have a ministry described in the New Testament. Now, I'm talking about a specific ministry. And you can find it in Revelation chapter 12, discusses the ministries, the various ministries. That's not the purpose of our teaching tonight. But you need to take time to ask God what your ministry is. Hallelujah. Chances are He's told you, but you didn't take time to look at the burning bush. All right? You have an important place in the body of Christ. Joseph's important place in the body of Christ was interpreting dreams. So one of his purposes in living was to perform his ministry in spite of all circumstances. Do not, as you discover what your ministry is, do not become discouraged because circumstances attack you. Do not become discouraged because it would seem that you've been thrown in a prison and you can do nothing. I tell you by experience, when I was facing up to 99 years, I had to come to a point where I said, God, I know I'm called to preach, and if you want me to preach from a jail cell, I'll be willing to do it. People, we cannot let our ministry be turned aside because of circumstances. There is a calling that will be burned within your heart if you'll but ask the Father to start burning it within. Sandalabasi. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The body of Christ needs one another desperately in this hour, people. You are not just cheating yourself, but you're cheating others. You're hindering others from going on until the Lord stirs up another one to come in and take your place. I don't speak that as condemnation. I speak that as to stir you. I pray the Spirit of the Lord would stir within you. Hallelujah. But Joseph had a much higher calling than to interpret dreams. And we find it in Genesis 50, verse 18. The very brothers that betrayed him went and fell down before his face. And they said, Behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, But God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Now we can go to Revelation 12, and we can get a better understanding what the Lord is saying in this hour as he draws us up into a higher place. I am finding that the people that are wounded are having difficulties grappling with many uncertainties in life. They're afraid to come together with a body of believers because they don't want to get hurt again. Isn't that right? They're afraid to look to someone that has the gifts of the Spirit or teaching abilities because many times they've been wounded severely by someone like that. And they're sitting out there saying, "Oh God, oh God," and they're tempted to give up. And that's the very thing the enemy would like to do. And the Lord is saying, be as Joseph. Be as Joseph. I'm calling you to have a heart of forgiveness towards all. If you truly want to be an overcomer, you will truly walk the road that teaches you to be the Lamb. Salat HaBasi. Hallelujah. Expect to have arrows shot at you. Kalabasianda. Expect to receive bruises. Don't look for them. Don't desire them. But as they come, don't let them throw you down and hold you down. Instead, recognize it's an opportunity to learn the nature of the Lamb and let it come forth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The spirit of anger is running rampantly in the body of Christ. And if it is not dealt with, it will become a root of bitterness. And if it becomes a root of bitterness, it will destroy your body. And you will go home early because you've not properly discerned the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. People, examine. Hallelujah. And deal with the anger. Deal with the anger. Hallelujah. Well, we need to go on. Thank you, Lord, for your sweet presence. As we look at the purpose of the showbread, I just want to draw maybe your attention to one other thing. 1 John 3:8 tells us that our purpose is to destroy the works of the devil. Deliverance. Hallelujah. We're never going to destroy the works of the devil until we get him out of the realm of heaven. And the realm of heaven is right within me. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord for that. So, my purpose, and if you think of it with the other word showbread, it gives us more confidence. I am the showbread. Hallelujah. Or I should say, I carry the showbread that destroys the works of Satan. Hallelujah. Now, the other thing I would draw your attention to is Romans 8:28, and it tells us how all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. I don't know if I quoted it exact, but you know the Scripture better than I. When we become wounded, or even when we think about doing things for the Lord, we make mistakes. Isn't that right? How many here has never made a mistake? How many of us haven't determined in the name of Jesus to do something and then confessed it by faith, only not to have it done? Isn't that right? Yeah. And then after we've done it, we realize if the name of Jesus would have been on it, we'd have been in great trouble. And so we thank Him that He didn't put His name on it, even though we confessed it. And we walked through the trial and we thought we didn't have any faith anymore, because we started out with great faith at the beginning, and at the end we had no faith. And it's a good thing we didn't have faith, because it didn't belong there anyway. Isn't that right? And the Lord says, I love you so much that I will cause good to come from it. And it will work for my purpose. It will work for my showbread. So quit walking in fear that you're going to displease the Lord. And I'm not doing away with the fear of God, and I'm not making God's word cheap or anything else. But do you hear what I'm saying? Walk in the confidence that I am doing the best I can, whatever day this is and whatever date this is. And as I take this step of faith, I'm bathing myself with prayer that it's the will of God.
And tomorrow morning, if I wake up and I find out this wasn't the will of God, I will cry out and say, Lord, thank you for forgiveness.
Yes.
Thank you for mercy. Now minister truth to me that I might never make this mistake again. And the Psalms teach us that mercy and truth kiss. Hallelujah. Isn't that great? You know, I relate well to your conversion, although I didn't come out of that. But the mercy of God came to me where I was at. And then he brought the gentle truth that was strong so I could not fail. Hallelujah! Glory to the Lord. Hallelujah. All right, let's go on. Revelation 12, now we're there, verse 1. There appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. For the sake of time, I'm not going to get into a lot of the scriptures on this, but I would like to prove some things from the Word of God. First of all, the word wonder there means a sign or an evidence or a showing forth. You and I have been called to show forth something from the realm of heaven. Now, that word woman there means one destined to become a wife. And it is the same word that is found in chapter 19, verse 7, and 21, verse 9, if you want to look at it for a second, and keep your fingers back on Revelation 12. And this ties in with purpose. You just be patient now. And it says in 19:7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. That word wife there is the same word as the word woman back here. Tie this in with the story of Jacob. Go back to your memory for a minute. Jacob was being called to a higher plane to go to a marriage. The church is being called to a higher plane to go to a marriage. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. All right. Look at Revelation 21 and 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the last seven plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither. In other words, come to a high place. I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit. John was in the flesh, but yet he was in the spirit. Remember that, and we'll talk about it in a minute. And showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Hallelujah. There is a time, and we're near, where we are going to be becoming as this great Jerusalem. That word descending means gradually descending upon us. It's a gradual thing. It's the glory of the Lord coming down upon us. Now, it says that this woman was clothed with the sun and the moon. We'll keep going back to Revelation 12. You might want to keep your finger there, but go to Psalm 89 and 36 for a moment. You know, it's hard to choose one scripture. There's so many. And then we would become like Paul, and you would fall out the window. And Glenn said to me, can you get her on a 90-minute tape? And, see, I taught on walls here one time. And I guess it got lengthy. And Bill has never let me forget it. And every time he gets lippy with me, I tell him I'm going to teach on walls again. And he repents. We don't preach long because we want to. It's just it's difficult to choose. The subject is sun and moon. His seed, who's his seed now? You and I. Christ in us. Shall endure forever. Endure, it says. That's not a pleasant word when you think about it, is it? Endure requires patience. Endure sees through trials. Endure is truly the nature of the Lamb. Putting up with. Forever. And his throne as the sun before me. So we see that the S-U-N is the throne of God. And the throne of God is where righteousness flows from. So the sun stands for the righteousness of Jesus Christ. He is our righteousness. Amen. Hallelujah. And before me, it shall be established forever as the moon. So the next thing we see about this is the moon is
being established as the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We could call ourselves loonies and get away with it, all right? Hallelujah. All right. And now the third thing it says is that we are to be a faithful witness in where? In the realm of heaven. Hallelujah. Therefore, we are being called to be a testimony of all that heaven is. Oh, glory. Genesis chapter 1. And God said, in verse 16, and God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. And then he made the stars also. But I want us to see that the brightness of the sun is the nature of the righteousness of God.
Please turn the tape over for side two. Thank you.
Hallelujah. Praise be to God. All right. Look at Revelation 21 and 9. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the last seven plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither. In other words, come to a high place. I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit. John was in the flesh, but yet he was in the spirit. Or let me forget it. And every time he gets lippy with me, I tell him I'm going to teach on walls again. And he repents. We don't preach long because we want to. It's just it's difficult to choose. The subject is sun and moon.
Is the nature of the righteousness of God. And it rules those that are in day. Who is in day? We are the light. Hallelujah. And the Lord says, don't have fellowship with darkness. Who rules the darkness? The moon. The moon. You and I rule the principalities of darkness. Hallelujah. Deliverance again. Praise the Lord for that. The righteousness of God. Today someone was talking about the Apostle Paul being visited by a light brighter than the sun. Or did I read it? I don't know. But can you imagine the brightness of the presence of God in the realm of heaven? To stand in the presence of the sun, even in Arkansas here, you burn up if you're in it too long. And boy, I remember when I was on the beach in Hawaii, 20 minutes, and I was fried like bacon. I didn't know that you burn so quickly. But that is nothing compared to the spiritual heat of standing, the spiritual holiness of standing in the presence of the Lord. Turn with me to Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 34, 11 to 16. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep, I always have trouble saying that, and seek them out, as a shepherd seeketh out his flock, 34, 11 and 12 and so on of Ezekiel. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is amongst his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel. Hallelujah. By the rivers and all the inhabited places of the country, I will feed them in a good pasture. And upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold and in a fat pasture. Hallelujah, I can be fat there. Praise the Lord. Shall they feed upon the mountain of Israel? I will feed my flock. I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord. I will seek that which was lost and bring that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. And this is what I draw from this for this particular teaching. Hallelujah. There is a people who are responding to the drawing of God the Father. And they know that they have been scattered and they haven't been fed properly. And they have a hunger within them for more. And they have stepped out now and they have obeyed as Jacob obeyed. And they have stepped out by faith. They're saying, oh God, where do I belong? And the Lord is now calling His sheep. He's calling His sheep. I just feel to interject one quick thing. I find that many of these sheep came out with a spirit of rebellion. If you come out with rebellion, you're going to walk right back into another group with rebellion, and it will be destroyed. All right? So examine your bruise and your wound and see if there's a little bit of rebellion alongside of it, and deal with it. All right? God will not bring you into the true fold until you're rid of the rebellion. Salatabasi. Hallelujah. All right? Now, the reason I chose this verse also was because this time happens in the cloudy and dark day. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 15, verse 11. Abraham had just made an offering, and it was an offering with reference to a covenant, as I recall. In verse 9, he says, he'd take me a heifer, and in verse 10, he took him and he divided him. And when the fowls came down upon the carcass, Abram drove them away. Now, let me tell you how that ties in. The definition of a fowl is this. It is dusty blue in color. It is in the shades of sundown. This comes from the root word of fowl. All right? It comes when it's not quite dark and not quite light. Mixture, light and dark. And the word means also mixture. And it carries with it a desire to barter and mix. Hallelujah. That's the definition of a fowl. And finally, it also means to twist as a rope, to get you twisted up in mixture. So there are birds that are flying, spiritual forces. I'd want to tell and teach on that. We don't have time. There are spiritual forces that are coming as a prey to your place of sacrifice, to your altar. Hallelujah. And they are trying to minister mixture to you. Oh, Lord. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 13. Verse 19, I guess will be good enough. No, verse 4. Behold, a sower went forth to sow. Excuse me again. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside. The fowls came and devoured them. All right. And verse 19 tells us now that, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. And that is what is happening in the body of Christ right now, people. The kingdom of God word is coming forth. And people are not willing to receive it, and the enemy is being sent to steal it from you. It's being cast by the wayside. And there is a separation coming because within the body there is a remnant that refuses to let the seed be cast by the wayside. Refuses to let the fowl. All right. You know, we could go to one other scripture on the fowl. Let me find it. It's in Revelation. Hallelujah. 19, 18, something like that. Just a minute. Yeah, 18, verses 1 and 2. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. I believe that stands for holiness. And he cried with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen. That's the system of rebellion, amongst many other things. Is become the habitation of devils, the hold of every foul spirit, a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. And that is as the same as fowl.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So there is a mixture that is attacking the church and trying to get in it and twist it up in its compromised doctrine, which turns away from all holiness and softens the love of God from a righteous love to a love that's human, a soulish love. Hallelujah. Okay, let's go on. I'm going to skip the red dragon. We don't have any time to do that. And now this woman in verse 5, she brought forth a man-child who is to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. The church birthed something. The woman was travailing. In verse 2, it says she was travailing in birth
and pained to be delivered. Let's take a moment and look at travailing and see what the Word would have to say about that. And turn with me to Isaiah chapter 26, verses 17 and 18. Now, the story behind this is that the two tribes are under great attack. They're under attack by an Assyrian, which is a type of the Antichrist. All right? And as they're under this attack, the Assyrians have laid siege to the city, and they're accusing them falsely and charging them usury and high taxes and so on and so forth. And the remnant here was just at a place where they were worn out. They could do no more battle. And this is the scripture describing that. We'll pick up in verse 16. Lord, in trouble they have visited thee. They poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them. Like as a woman with child that draweth near the time of her delivery is in pain and crieth out in her prayings, so have we been in thy sight, O Lord. We have been with child, we have been in pain, we have been, as it were, brought forth wind. We have not wrought any deliverance in the earth, neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen. Within the body, there are schisms and divisions. There's doctrines of this and that. And when you teach out of Revelation, you can teach it as past, present, and future. And you can just stir up a whole argument on either view. A brother had a question today for me, and I answered it from my viewpoint, and I know that there's others that have another viewpoint. And God has just not unveiled, I don't believe, the reality of much of it. So we need to look at it in interpreting it for this is how it covers me today, and leave it go at that, all right, many times. And that's not to do away with the unveiling. But I want us to see that there's many reasons in that the body of Christ is in schisms and divisions. Schisms and divisions produce birthing pains. Birthing is when something comes out. Isn't that right? And so there are many people that are saying, I'm going to get out of that place. I'm going to leave that place. I'm going to do this. I don't want any part of that again. I don't mean to belabor that point, but this is just what's going on right now. And as this painful experience comes out, the church is crying out, and they're saying, we have given birth to nothing but wind. And the people that have come out are saying, I'm just like wind. I came out and I'm going to and fro. I'm being tossed to and fro as in a storm. And nothing of value is happening. All right? That's one travail that we go through. Let's look at a second travail that we go through. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 6. We're going to wrap this up in a couple of minutes, Lord willing. And Bill said amen. Tommy did. And these are the words that the Lord spake concerning Israel and concerning Judah. For thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling of fear and not of peace. Doesn't that ring a bell? A voice of trembling of fear and not of peace. Yet we know that peace is of God, and fear and trembling is not of God. All right? And ask ye now and see whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned unto paleness. There is a false travailing going on, and it is man trying to produce the mature sons of God. Oh, Lord. And they are doing, and people are doing every religious thing that we know of to become a mature son of God. And there is no peace within our heart. And the Lord says, we're like a man. We're trying to do something we can't do. It is impossible for you and I to do works to bring forth that which God would have it to be. All we can do is let God work through us and be obedient. The spirit of Jezebel has got to come out of every one of us. The desire to take authority and control over situations has got to leave. The jealousy to have something that another has when you're not qualified to have it has got to be taken out of us. We need to learn to be satisfied with our calling. Hallelujah.
go back to Revelation and we'll try to bring things to a real understanding. You know, we're skipping a lot, but yet I think we're making a point. And she brought forth a man child. That word man there means mature. And that word child is the same word used as Son of God. So she brought forth one that was mature. There is a coming out of people from the church who are desiring to go into a higher level, into the deeper things of God. Hallelujah. And a group of people that are under the teaching of a shepherd will never rise above the shepherd. So the Lord is placing those that have a hungry heart in like fellowship with one that will lead them into a deeper understanding. Hallelujah. Now I share this with you because I sense there are many who are dealing with feelings of guilt in this area, wondering why things are happening. And this is why. All right? An overcomer is one that's not a copperoller. An overcomer is one that sees a mountain and goes up to it and speaks to it. Hallelujah. An overcomer will have to go into the deeper things of God or the mountain will never move. Hallelujah. I'll make one quick statement here. By experience, I'm learning this right now. God gives us the opportunity to let our faith grow. And He doesn't do that just so our faith can grow. He does it because there is a greater experience just ahead that will require greater faith. And if we don't walk the experience of letting our faith grow, that mountain will become impossible and will remain back at the other place. And I am seeing this happen, and it's resulting in a separation, and it's bringing forth the true ministries of God. Hallelujah. And it is God's method of separating the false from the true. And the weak from the strong. Hallelujah. Therefore, we must expect to be in trials. But we must expect to walk with the confidence that the trial will never exceed what we can take. Hallelujah. Simple teaching, but so true when you need it. All right. Now let's look at the ministry of the mature Son of God, or the man-child. And it says that He was going to rule the nations with a rod of iron. Keep your finger there and look at Revelation 2 and 26. He that overcometh. Which church are we talking about here? The church that had the spirit of Jezebel running rampant. He that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And that rod of iron stands for a royal scepter coming forth out of the earth. Iron comes forth out of the earth. Isn't that right? The scepter of God coming forth. And it's coming forth through the people who have conquered the spirit of Jezebel. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Okay. There's a lot more on that subject too, but let's go on so that we can finish. And this child, it says, was caught up unto God and to His throne. Three things we got to quickly examine. The word caught up here does not mean fly away. Excuse me, Glenn. I didn't even bend over and it happened. Doc. That's why I usually have it in this pocket. Then that doesn't get in the way. Stephen was caught up and he saw the Lord. But in the physical, he wasn't caught up. Being caught up is a place in the spirit while you're in the flesh, people. Paul was caught up into paradise. You and I are headed to paradise. We are headed to paradise. It's that realm, that third heaven. But yet he knew this man and he was in the flesh. But yet whether in the body or not, I don't know. He's having an out-of-body experience. 1 Thessalonians 4 tells us that we're going to be caught up in the air to meet him. That word air there stands for that which we breathe. So it has to be below a moon. It's right here. We are caught up to meet Him right here in the realm of the Spirit. Hallelujah! Hallelujah. Forget about this. He's going to cover us with His wings. We aren't going to fly anywhere. Hallelujah. But we are being trained to be caught up unto the throne. Throne is where the righteousness is. Unto denotes that I am going there, but I haven't attained it yet. I'm coming unto the camp, but I'm not there yet, if I was 100 miles away. So, the man-child is a people who have not attained perfection, but have their eyes set on the righteousness of Christ. They stand firm on the doctrine of the blood. They live the word of their testimony. And part of that living is deliverance. Hallelujah. I just got to interject this. If I could only express to Glenn and Irma and all of you how much more centers are needed like this. I said tonight, maybe we should charter buses and bring people down. There's got to be an answer, but there needs to be more deliverance places. There really does. People are hungry all over for it. And then you say, well, why don't they come? I'll tell you two reasons why they don't come. Number one, financial circumstances is a big reason. They've not been disciplined enough to set money aside. Is that their fault? I believe it's the fault of the church. The number two reason is, when you come here, you enter into warfare. When you purpose in your heart you're going to come to these meetings, there's going to be every kind of an obstacle thrown before you. And many of these people have weak faith. And they just cannot overcome those. I could probably name you 10 families that said they'd be here. And there's two that came. The others, at the last minute, excuses happened that seemed insurmountable to them. I would have hurt them if I would have said to them, your faith is weak. Instead, I had to minister encouragement to them, praying that they would get strong. Hallelujah. All right. This is the warfare that goes on out there as people get to come. Hallelujah. So we need to pray with Glenn and Irma about this. This is needed desperately. We're conducting 3-day seminars, and I hate that word, but I don't know a better word for it. Teaching deliverance, going right to the basics. Young people are coming out. They're taking the tapes back to their pastors and saying, look what we learned. Hallelujah. And their lives are being changed and they're being set free. Amen. Oh, I just feel we need to get that plug in for deliverance because it's so needed of the Lord. Now, the man-child, we've got to get back to it. Caught up unto God and to His throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness. The wilderness is many things, but it's where the man-child has come out of. The man-child is in the wilderness right now. And amongst the things that I just pick it from memory, but that the wilderness is, it's a place of proving your faith. So you know where it is. God knows where our faith is, but it says in Deuteronomy, I think 8, somewhere in there, it says that you're in the wilderness so that you will know where your faith is. And when we know where our faith is, then we understand we're in the trial and we let His strength be made perfect in that area so that we can go on. Hallelujah. Another purpose of the wilderness is that there, and Tommy touched on it, is there's false prophecies. A time of testing. Hallelujah. And in Judges or Joshua, some Judges, I think 2, something, 23 maybe in that area, it says that a little bit of enemy is left in our land so that we might know that God is God. So the wilderness and going on is a place of battle. Hallelujah. And the church is going to come into the wilderness experience, because it says over in verse 14, and the woman was given 2 wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place. The Lord has prepared a place for her where she might be nourished. Go back to verse 6. Who's nourishing her? The Joseph company. And the woman fled into the wilderness where she had a place prepared of God, and they should feed her there 1,260 days. And who is feeding her? The they is the man-child company. Hallelujah. The man-child company. Whoa, I got to shut it or we won't finish. The man-child company is a people that have the nature of the Lamb, who are bruised and battered, who have a hunger to go on in God, who have a ministry and they know what it is, as Joseph knew his was interpreting dreams. And they're not looking at circumstances about their ministry, they're just doing it whenever they're supposed to do it. Hallelujah.
Please remember that. Your ministry, I feel to stress this tonight, your ministry should not be dependent upon circumstances. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. It doesn't say the gifts and callings of God are according to circumstances. And you have been prepared for a purpose, and Jesus has worked it out for you. Hallelujah. And if you're going through a turmoil right now, it's because you're in the birthing room. And the birthing room comes to the mature. And to become mature is to become as a father. Not as a child. Not as a young man. But as a father. Hallelujah. Sila navasai sharapatorianda. Hallelujah. The Lord is calling us. He's beckoning. Come on up into a higher place. Silo basai. Silo basai. People, don't be afraid. That's a trick of the enemy. Don't be self-conscious. That's pride. Be bold. Get rid of that timid, sinful, timid nature and replace it with the nature of the Lamb. Examine yourself for anger and bitterness and deal with it now. Go make peace with whomever it's necessary. Discern the body of Christ, because those that are not discerning it, the Lord says through Paul, they're going to sleep early. They're being consumed, and death is taking over. Has to. Hallelujah. I don't know quite how to end this. I just sense the Spirit of the Lord. Please, let's be patient. Shalatabasakiyanda. The Lord is loving you tonight. And the Father is being very gentle with His love. And He's saying, I'm calling you higher. Would you like to come?
No.
Would you come? I want to take you into a place of rest.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. Glenn said today, where are the people that will take our place in the campground? He's walked into the maturity as a mature son of God for the ministry of the campground. And now God is preparing somebody. That's where it's at. They're being matured and they're struggling and they're doubting. And they're in birthing. And they don't know which way they're going probably, but yet they've got a cry in their heart and they know what it is. And I feel to tell you, Glenn and Irma, that in God's timing, that one shall come forth. And you'll know it is the one, because that one shall be small in stature and mighty in strength. And that one shall look upon work as a challenge of serving God as a servant and not as one that would shirk responsibility in the work of the Lord. And that one shall have an ability to work with figures and numbers. And it shall be one that is honest and pure. For the Lord says He is preparing that one, even at this time. Hallelujah. 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 Sister Janelle, the Lord would say that I do have my hand under you. I've never taken it away. I do hold you even as tonight I did speak of that Almighty One. And yea, I say there are times now when I pull you away from my breast. And as the mother eagle that pushed her young out of the nest, so have I been pushing you out of the nest. And yea, you have thought, oh my goodness, I'll fall, I'll fall, I'll fail, I'll fail, I can't, I can't. And I let you fall past the point where you thought you couldn't make it. And you made it. And then I swooped down. And I carried you back up. You are not alone. No. There are legions that are marching with you. Look upon the opportunities that I give you. And don't look upon them with eyes of fear. But know that I give them to you because you can do them. And I shall give thee strength to accomplish. For you have much wisdom. You've asked and I've given it to you. Yea, you have been obedient in my word. Yea, you have come to me with a brokenness, and I have been there, and I have mended with my needle and sewed that brokenness with the cord of rest. Yea, I say unto you, my daughter, you are mine. Rejoice, for you can do it, and I love you, and I have confidence that we will get the job done. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Ray. Hallelujah. The Lord would say that He hath put a hedge about you and your home. For there are those that would confess that they love you, but they do not. And they would say falsehoods to try and gain favor. But yet, as they turn their back, they speak words that are not pleasing. And the Lord would say that He shall deal with them. You are protected. And He shall fill them with repentance. For He doth draw them unto Him. For yea, their youth doth cause them to see with eyes that are not clear. And the Lord doth put a hedge of protection around you. And thou shalt not be harmed. Yea, ye in the house. Yea, your house shall be covered with my protection. Yea, I say unto you, stir not with fear, but rejoice with victory, for I am making your home as a fortress and a stronghold. And yea, I say unto you, those that do not understand at this time shall understand, and ye shall be required to have the heart as Joseph did, and ye shall feed them in a time when there is not much to feed, and there shall be plenty, and they shall know. And you shall say as Joseph, I forgive, because I see now how I can be as a father and as the head of my house. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Kola balona vasaya. Hila vasarianda. I would like an interpreter for the gentleman from Cuba, yes, that I wanted, didn't get a chance to pray with. He's right to your side there. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Lord, help me. I've never done this before. You can stay there. That's all right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As I saw him enter into the sanctuary, I was reminded of a vision that I have. And I saw you, brother, standing in a coliseum. And there were masses of people in this coliseum. And you were waving the word of God. And you were drawing down the strongholds of Catholicism. And you were proclaiming Jesus as their Savior. And the Lord would say, there are winds that are strong that do come against thee. But know that the Lord has given you authority over the winds. And you should stand strong and rebuke the storms. There shall be a settling of the sea, and the sea here is people. For the Lord shall lift the spirits of war that are on the people now. And He shall send His dove. And He shall send His dove. And ye shall know, because there shall be a flock of doves that will fly over the stadium. And the peace of God will come on those that did war. You have been tempted to give up due to weariness and circumstances. The Lord would say, I will not let you become that weak. There will be provision. There will be strength. And yea, you shall be cared for abundantly. I have allowed this trial that your faith might be strong and that you might relate to others. for as a priest, you must be able to relate to others as Christ can relate to you. Therefore, be encouraged, my son. You shall carry the flag of victory to your people. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Phil, the Lord is going to open up some doors for you in the very near future. And these doors are going to be ones that would test your faith. The Lord would say that thou art strong, therefore look not upon thyself as weak. Yea, I do say unto thee, I am strengthening thee and I am giving thee authority. And I will trust thee with authority. And know that the doors that do open shall require of you a new level of sacrificing unto God. And as they do, it shall bring a joy and a freedom that you've never had before. And now the picture I have, Phil, is you are dancing with a white robe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it's after you have taken this step. Hallelujah. And there is financial blessing that comes with this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Kalabasi andalonabasai. Hallelujah. It's hard to know. How much? About 5 minutes, you tell me, all right? We don't want to quench the Spirit. We don't want to abuse the privilege. So we just wrestle and let the Spirit go until it's hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Let's worship Him for a minute. Hallelujah. You know, as we move with the Word, don't look to us. Close your eyes. If you need a word, let the Lord do it. It's very difficult when there's eyes that are pleading. Everybody wants a word of the Lord. And you know, a word of the Lord brings a trial to work it out. Remember that. Hallelujah. Shalakabasi andalona basai. Hallelujah. 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 To the gentleman here and your husband and wife. All right. Praise the Lord. Sometimes I quake when I say that. The Lord is lifting you, even as we did share tonight. For your eyes have been opened to understanding of the working of the Lord. And the Lord is removing you from a place of turmoil into a place of peace and rest. And you shall be as a pillar at the doorway. And you shall be as a mother unto young ones. And you shall speak life and ways of living. And your life shall be as an example unto them. And they shall respect the man of few words. And they shall hear the words of authority. And as they hear, they will come for strength. And you shall give them strength. Therefore, the Lord would say, resist not the temptation of the traditions of the elders to hang on. But look forward into the kingdom of God, for the Lord is unveiling much understanding of the kingdom. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Salatabasikidiyana. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. To this gentleman, I see a man with his eyes stretched towards heaven, and his arms reaching out. Now, I saw that in the natural, so I sat on it for a minute. But I know this is in the Spirit that I see it. And I see a man with a tear-stained face. And I see behind you many, many people, and they're shouting mockery at you. And they're crying out at you, and they're calling you a stupid old man, a worthless old man. He doesn't know what he's saying. He's off on another binge and another tangent. And they're speaking things of cursings against you. And I see your back and it's full of wounds. For rather than stand and strike out, you have walked away with a heavy heart. And there's been much sadness. For back there you did love. You cared for. You invested even out of your wallet. You gave everything that you had. And they turned on you. And the Lord would say, yea, there shall come a day, even as Joseph did feed, that you shall feed. Yea, my son, be not discouraged at this time, but know that I do give thee strength, and thou art not lonely, because I am with thee. Yea, cry unto me in these times of loneliness and speak a word unto me, and I shall speak a word of encouragement to you, for I do love thee as my son. And yea, I shall open your understanding, and yea, I shall lift your soul unto a higher plane. For truly, I have looked beyond your heart, and I have seen a desire to come much higher. Yea, for the Lord doth lift thee up, my son. He is a rewarder of those that seek him. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this night. We thank you for your presence. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hallelujah.
I will, thy will in my life today. I will, thy will in my life today. I will, thy will in my life forever. I will, thy will in me. I will, thy will in my life.